Happy Thanksgiving!
This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have an inspiring message from Roy Ice from Faith for Today, a special musical feature,
and another insightful Reflections of Hope episode. Stay tuned. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. And again, happy Thanksgiving.
That's right. On this Thanksgiving morning, we are so thankful for you, our viewers.
And of course, we can't overlook that most of all, we are very thankful for Jesus. He's the very reason this program even exists.
Amen. And friends, did you know studies show that expressing gratitude is associated with a host of mental and physical benefits? Things like improved sleep, mood, and even immunity. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. It sure is. And we want to hear from you. What are you thankful for? Send us a message on our Facebook page and please let us know. We would love to hear from you. And right now, it's time to discover what took place on this very day in history.
On this day in history in 1936, the Life magazine was first published. The mission of Life magazine was to show the news in pictures. In the words of the owner, the magazine was meant to provide a way for the American people to see life, to see the world, to eyewitness great events.
What a great purpose! It's kind of like the experience of heaven the Bible gives us some insight on. You know, in Isaiah chapter 65, verses 22 to 25, the Bible gives us vivid imagery on what heaven will be like.
It says the inhabitants will build houses and dwell in them. Oh, I love building houses. It says they will enjoy the work of their hands. They will never get tired or weary. The wolf and the lamb will live together. The animals will all eat straw. No one will harm anyone. There will be no more death, nor pain, nor tears, nor sadness. A little child will lead a lion.
Wow. And it goes on and on. You know, friends, can you close your eyes and imagine such beauty, such peace and joy? Well, soon and very soon, Jesus will come and take his children to heaven with him. Oh, I can't wait.
I can't either, and it's going to be an amazing place to be. Well, this morning, Pastor Tosh Paklev joins us now on another Reflections of Hope episode as he takes us to the Galapagos Islands to meet the saddleback of Galapagos, one of the rarest creatures on Earth, to see what we can learn from these gentle giants.
Someone once said, "Nature does not hurry, and yet everything is accomplished." Never have I really seen the reality of this truth until I had the chance to visit a place that's far off the beaten path. A region of our world that's hard to get to and even harder to leave. An inspiring land that has gripped the imagination of thousands ever since its first visitors set foot on shore. A world of wonder. An island of intrigue. The first recorded visit to this enchanted place happened by chance in 1535. It was the Bishop of Panama who stepped foot on this undiscovered land after accidentally finding it on his voyage to Peru. The bishop was amazed to see the rich diversity of this untouched domain. He was entertained by birds with bright blue feet bobbing up and down in their clumsy courtship dance. He was intrigued by the swimming and sunbathing iguanas laying on the sharp black lava rocks. The white sandy beaches were filled with lazy sea lions basking without a care in the full strength of the noonday sun. He was surprised to see penguins, perfectly content living in this equatorial region. But of all the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, and the beasts of the field, that which caught his attention the most were the giant tank-like tortoises covered in their armored shells. To the bishop, The shells of these ancient reptiles looked like the Spanish Galapagos horse saddles of that era, so he named the tortoises Galapagos. Then when the Flemish mapmaker Abraham Ortelius published his World Atlas in 1570, he referred to these islands as Los Galapagos, which means Islands of the Saddlebacks. And so has this land of wonder been called ever since. The tortoises that give this place their name are some of the rarest creatures on Earth. Exploited for their meat and oil, the population of the Galapagos tortoise has been decimated from 250,000 in the 16th century to around only 3,000 in the 1970s. 5 out of the original 15 different species are already extinct. The remaining 10 are on the endangered list. Now federally protected, these ancient islanders live the easygoing, laid-back life. With no natural predators, they are free to come and go as they please. Consisting on mainly a plant-based diet, these gentle giants can grow up to 6 feet long and weigh up to a whopping 800 pounds. With a generous appetite, they can eat up to 80 pounds of food per day, and they can survive a whole year without eating or drinking anything. They are the longest living reptiles on Earth, with an average lifespan of over 150 years. They carry their home on their back, and they graze wherever the grass is greener, most of the time taking them up to the highlands, and even to the crest of the volcanoes. They're not afraid to venture to higher ground, if that's what it takes to survive. There are so many amazing characteristics of these grass-grazing gentle giants, many of which it will be well for us to emulate in our own lives, characteristics that will improve longevity and enable us to outlast the elements. The Galapagos tortoise teaches us, be blessed and don't stress. Wherever you go, make yourself at home. Rest well and take long walks. Don't settle for the lowlands, but head to higher ground. But take it one step at a time. Be hard on the outside, but soft on the inside. Chew your food carefully, but stick to a plant-based diet. Save and store for times of want. Be flexible and adapt to your environment. And if you run out of sustenance, be patient and use what you got. Have no enemies. Be at peace with those around you. Remember, you may be slow, but you are rare and unique, and there is none that is quite like you. Live your life in such an impressive way that one day people will name an island after you. Many are the life lessons we learn from these majestic creatures. But of all the lessons, the one that sticks out to me the most is this. Many times, slow and steady is better than fast and gassed. Sometimes we live our lives in the fast lane, and we miss out on all the beautiful scenery around us. We invest our time and our energy trying to reach a specific destination, trying to attain a certain goal, and yet we fail to enjoy the journey. We fail to embrace the process of what it takes to get there. Human beings have a natural tendency to seek instant gratification without considering the long-term results. Many pour out their lives in trying to make a living, and yet they're not really living. We work hard to attain and accumulate, and yet we struggle to find genuine lasting peace and satisfaction. We are outwardly stimulated, and yet we're inwardly dissatisfied. Our bellies are full, and yet we're still hungry. And our discontent with what we got drains us of life, and it robs us of peace. And if we continue to live in this mindset, we will eventually run out of gas when it matters the most. Now don't get me wrong, there's nothing that takes the place of a good work ethic and a strong ambition of wanting to live a productive life. But the lesson we learn from these ancient saddlebacks is this: slow and steady is better than fast and gassed. So don't rush into things and don't procrastinate your goals. If you want to live long, you must first live strong. And if you want to outlast the elements, you have to take it one day at a time and one step at a time. So let us be like the ancient saddlebacks of Galapagos. May we be the rare and unique ones that people flock to see. May our modesty and simplicity be our strength and longevity. And if we do, perhaps one day someone will name an island after us. But until then, let's just keep heading to the highlands in faith. And by God's grace, I'll see you at the top.
It's now time for music. This may be a familiar song. We invite you to sing along.
after hearing a story like that, it'd make you want to praise the Lord and sing. Sing with me.
Jesus, we just
We still have more in store for you today, so we have to take a quick break now. But when we return, Roy Ice will be sharing a devotional message with us. Don't go anywhere.
God loves you, and respecting the health He gave you, living creation healthy, is one way you can show that you are allowing His love to make you more like Him. God wants you to be transformed by His grace, changed from a person who is self-centered and proud to one who is humble and eager to serve others. When you realize that God loves you despite your flaws and that His gifts can lead to greater joy and personal fulfillment, then He can begin that incredible transformation process. A trusting relationship with your Creator empowers every aspect of your life. God gives you everything you need in order to grow and produce the fruits of creation health. The fruit of making wise choices. The fruit of rest. The fruit of creating restorative environments. The fruit of mental and physical activity. The fruit of trusting God. the fruit of meaningful relationships, positive outlook, and the fruit of celebrating the bounty of Eden. Creation Health. It's far more than a healthy lifestyle, more than a wellness program. Creation Health is a living, breathing adventure between you and your Creator. It's an adventure to be learned, to be shared, and experienced every day. You'll never live the same. That's Creation Health.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today's Roy Ice.
Henry Kissinger, in his book, The White House Years, tells of a Harvard professor who had given an assignment and now was collecting the papers. He handed them back the next day, and at the bottom of one was written, "Is this the best you can do?" The student thought, "No," and redid the paper. It was handed in again and received the same comment. This went on 10 times, till finally the student said, "Yes, this is the best I can do." The professor replied, "Fine, now I'll read it. Today, I want you to understand that you were made to be exceptional." And Luke chapter 4 tells us how. It reads, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. 'Isn't this Joseph's son?' they asked." Now, Jesus had just fasted in the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted by the devil in three different categories in one. He had been identified by the premier prophet of his age. The Holy Spirit had descended on him like a dove. The clouds rolled back and a voice blasted through the desert air saying, "This is my beloved son." But the people still asked the question, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" I'm going to talk about a specific time today. And I'm going to talk about that time as a three-word phrase: "You're exceptional now." That's right, you're exceptional now. Jesus declared, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And he closed the scripture, handed it to the minister, and sat down. And they looked around at each other and said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Jesus had appeared in the synagogue to the religious people to declare that this is the time, this is the day, this is the hour. He challenged the way they saw their faith. He challenged the way they viewed their God. He challenged their routines and their ritualism, their doctrines and their ideas. He challenged the religious. This is Jesus' beginning moments at his hometown church, and he challenges not the world, not the sinners, not the secular, but he challenges the religious. If you are an emancipator and you're getting ready to liberate, you should start with the ones who are the most oppressed, right? But instead, he starts with the religious, the sanctimonious, the self-righteous, the holier than thou. He challenges them because he has taken their religion out of its historical context and brought it into the present moment. It says that he closed up the book and he says, "It's over. Class dismissed. Service is over." "Now, wait a minute, Jesus. You haven't been to church in about 6 weeks while you've been out in the desert, and now you say, 'Class dismissed?'" That's a mic drop moment, isn't it? The Bible says that they were amazed at the words that came from his lips, the power of his words, the excellence of his words. They were shocked at his words, but they defined him by what they saw. And they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They boxed him up neatly and closed the lid to the little package of their understanding. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" So at this point, we have to ask a relevant question about you. What are people saying about you that's stopping you? Will you be limited by how other people define you? Will you spend the rest of your life living up to their ideas of who you are? Or do you have the courage to break the mold? This talk today is not for the average Joe. It's not for the ordinary. This moment that we're spending together is for those of you who will not wait for notoriety before you break out of mediocrity and step into the realm of your exceptional now. This is your moment. It's now or never. If you don't do it now, you're not going to do it at all. You have to make up your mind whether you're going to be Joseph's son or not. This is the moment. And the question is, isn't this Joseph's son? And what's your answer? I'm not who you think I am. I am absolutely not who you think I am. I'm not Joseph's son. He raised me, but I'm not trapped to where I came from. I'm not bound to my past. It was my environment, but I'm not part of it. Jesus said, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So they began to banter with Jesus. And they said, "We hear all of these great things that you're doing. Why don't you do them here?" And Jesus said, "No prophet is accepted in his hometown." Jesus says, "The reason why I cannot do mighty works is because you haven't accepted me for who I really am." This is a fight between ordinary and being exceptional. The crowd says, "Your daddy's a carpenter. Stay in your lane. Be like your relatives. Act like your family. Live like your neighborhood. What are you thinking, getting this degree? Aren't you Joseph's son? You're supposed to be swinging a hammer, driving in nails. Stay in your place. I saw where you came from. Aren't you Joseph's son?" Now, only you can answer this question. The question before you is this: will you be ordinary, fit in with the crowd, run with the wolves? Or will you step out and be exceptional? Not superior, but exceptional. The root word for exceptional is accept. You cannot be exceptional if you do not have the word accept. I could be mistaken, but I think there are some exceptional people watching this program. And you can fill in this blank however it fits for you. Everybody quit, except me. Everybody stayed, except me. Everybody fainted, except me. Everybody got too tired, except me. Everybody didn't even try, except me. Can I go a little bit deeper? So Jesus, who is exceptional, is having a conversation with the ordinary. And exceptional and ordinary always have a conflict. Anytime exceptional people dwell in the midst of ordinary thinking people, there's always going to be a conflict. And so he said to them, "I will not stay in my place. I will not swing hammers and nails. I will not live up to some dead reputation of some former ancestor and your interpretation of how you see somebody who looks like me, dresses like me, and walks like me. I'm different. I'm exceptional. I don't have to wear anybody's name but my own." And he says that the same thing is possible for you if you can let go of your past. Scripture says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." You were made to be exceptional. Let go of the things of the past and live your exceptional now.
Amen. Thank you so much, Roy, for sharing that uplifting message. And as we go on our day today, I pray that we will not forget the hope we have in Jesus.
And thank you, friends, for watching Wake Up With Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about us, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow at the same time, where we'll be featuring an important talk on having a lifeline in the darkness, a simple way to set your child up for success. And Pastor Mark Finley will join us to share a devotional and so much more.
Also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, please visit hope.study for your free Bible study guides.
That's right. Don't forget, we have free Bible study guides on our website. You can visit hope.study to claim yours today.
And before we say goodbye, we have a Bible promise to share with you. Today's Bible promise says, "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Exodus 14:14. What a promise.
I love that verse. It's one of my favorites. And friends, how easy it is for you to stand still in the midst of a problem. Well, sometimes maybe it's not so easy, but we know that we have God on our side and we can stand in Him. The simple thing God asks us to do is seek His face, ask Him to step in, whatever it may be. And He promises that He will guide us through it all and He will fight for us. All we have to do is be still, lean on Him, and let Him pave the way. What a promise.
Amen. Again, thank you for joining us on today's program, and we hope you were encouraged. And we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, how much we are encouraged to know that the difficulties that we're going to face today will not be faced alone. You will be with us. And you're the mighty God, the everlasting Father. You are above all. And you can face our greatest challenges with victories and strength. And so we thank you, Lord. Join us as we enter into a new day. Thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.